Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hello and welcome to your Newsmax Daily for Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. It is not Super Tuesday, but it is a super busy Tuesday with several states holding primaries today, and there are several major news developments, including the return of four space travelers from the International Space Station.
Dragon SpaceX, deorbit burn complete, performance nominal, nose cone closure initiated.
Dragon, splashdown.
SpaceX copies, see the same.
The SpaceX Dragon capsule splashing down safely in the Gulf of Mexico early this morning after the space travelers spent nearly 200 days in space. And following this weekend's rallies, voters in Georgia going to the polls today for primary day in the battleground state that played a huge role in the battle over the 2020 election and will likely do so again come November. Mississippi and Washington State also holding their primaries today. Hawaii's holding a Republican caucus. Mississippians also voting for all four U.S. House seats and one U.S. Senate seat. Some of those are uncontested, but we'll be keeping an eye on it. In Washington, D.C., meanwhile, the big story. Robert Hur, the special counsel in the Biden classified documents case, is testifying before the Republican-led House Judiciary Committee about his investigation into Biden's mishandling of classified documents. You remember his report last month. He didn't bring charges against the president, saying despite there was evidence, because a jury would be sympathetic seeing Joe as an elderly man with a poor memory. This is former U.S. Attorney for D.C. Joe DeGeneva and Attorney Victoria Tunzing on American Agenda.
He was the man that blew the lid on Joe Biden. Well, I don't think he blew the lid. The first man to put it from the government on paper here. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, Mr. Hur is going to reiterate what he said in his report, that our current president, President Biden, is a criminal, that he violated the Espionage Act multiple times over the last 40 years, that he illegally possessed documents, he violated the law, but that he's too mentally incompetent to stand trial, but apparently competent enough to be president of the United States. So we basically have a fully certified incompetent crook in the White House.
Wow. What do you think, Vic?
Well, just to make it clear, because Hur is a political animal who went after Trump in his report, not for one second, not one document was Joe Biden ever allowed to have in his possession until he was president of the United States. Unlike Donald Trump, who under the Presidential Records Act was allowed to have records and negotiate which ones he got to keep. So I would ask him, and the Republicans are generally not too good at cross-examination, but I would ask him, why is it that you're not charging Joe Biden, not now while he's president, but at least leave it open for later after he isn't president? I was a drug prosecutor. If somebody had cocaine, that was per se illegal. It was per se illegal for Joe Biden to have one document.
And he had
hundreds in various places.
Veteran attorneys Victoria Tunzing, as she said, a former prosecutor, and Joe DeGeneva. Keep in mind now, Donald Trump faces 40 felony counts in his classified documents case. Not one, two, three, or four. 40 felony counts. One of those being his failure to comply or cooperate, which is the point that Democrats bring up all the time, that Joe Biden cooperated. Okay, so there's 39 other felony counts. The other part of the questioning is on Joe Biden's mental health. And Mr. Herr is testifying now as a private citizen after stepping down yesterday when the Department of Justice said that his work with them was finished. Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett, one of the Republicans seen having some interaction with President Biden last week during the State of Disunion. He spoke about it with Bianca De La Garza on Newsline.
Well, was it intelligent conversation? Could you understand what he was saying? Obviously, the big lead up to this was about how energetic he was, and you got him right at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave that up to the medical professionals, but no, ma'am, I don't think he's with it. I think his cognizant level is declining. He does things and mannerisms are such that are, they remind me of my father in a veterans nursing home, that he was a war hero and he'd had some massive strokes, but some of the mental issues there, I think, are they're evident to everybody. Nobody's hiding it. Nobody, you know, only the, if you talk to Democrats one-on-one, they'll tell you what they think. You talk to medical professionals, they know what they think. But, you know, I mean, it's just, but his politics are still hardcore, like with Israel.
Let's get into that because, and I hear you're sighing because the world is in such a perilous place. The hot mic moment after the State of Union, he said that he and Netanyahu would have a come to Jesus moment. Here we are the first night of Ramadan where Hamas has already been on the record saying they will escalate during the holy month. You know, Netanyahu, the IDF, they've dropped leaflets. They've tried to, you know, put in humanitarian aid when they can without making sure weapons are getting in.
Yes, ma'am.
President Biden seems to be reversing everything on our biggest ally.
Well, they are. It's talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's funding both sides of this war by relieving Iran of any sanctions on their oil, billion-dollar profits. Gaza, of course, is controlled by Hamas, a group that the people in Gaza voted in power, and their leadership is over in Qatar or whatever you want to call it. They're all billionaires. And of course the timing is everything. You got a presidential election coming up, and in Michigan, where the highest Muslim population possibly out of the Middle East lives, and he needs their support. The 100,000 people who voted, but voted for none of the above. He knows he's got to pick those up. And what he'll do is sacrifice the people of Israel.
Tennessee Representative Tim Burchett on Newsmax with Bianca De La Garza. And there was a lot of talk yesterday about his Republican congressional colleague, Nancy Mace of South Carolina, who's getting a lot of attention for her heated exchange with George Stephanopoulos over the weekend.
Endorsed Donald Trump for president. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. It's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump.
No,
you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury.
Mm-hmm. Not a good look for GMA George, who makes a living appealing to an almost exclusively female suburban audience, by the way. And Stephanopoulos actually lies twice there. Trump was not found liable for rape, which he said two times. George could find himself at the center of a lawsuit for slander for that statement. Wouldn't that be entertaining? The jury rejected E. Jean Carroll's rape allegation. He knows that. And found Trump liable for a lesser, much lesser degree of sexual abuse from a sex-obsessed woman who thinks rape is sexy, can't remember the year that she was raped, and has been laughing and bragging about her lawsuit for the past couple of months, including going on television. When Stephanopoulos' former boss, Bill Clinton, was accused of rape in the early 1990s by Juanita Broderick and accused of sexual assault by Paula Jones in 1994, Stephanopoulos was much different on the subject. He did everything in his power to discredit those allegations, dismissing Clinton's accusers as bimbos, he called them, multiple times in his 1999 book, All Too Human.
That is Rob Schmidt, host of the very popular Rob Schmidt Tonight, who also spoke with Congressman Nancy Mace.
It's good to have you on. Quite a moment on Sunday between you and one of the fiercest defenders of former President Bill Clinton.
That's right. It was an outrageous moment this weekend or yesterday with George Stephanopoulos trying to bully me and shame me as a survivor of rape over my support for Donald Trump. And I thought it was disgusting.
You know, it's interesting because Clinton's accusers are all bimbos, according to his book, but not E. Jean Carroll, who, you know, has so many problems with the story that she alleges. Not even a jury bought the rape allegation, the civil jury, I should say. There's never been criminal charges around this. You have a woman that's, you know, spent her entire life writing about sex. She says she invited the former president into a dressing room with her. She can't remember the year, let alone the month of her alleged rape, and has said that rape is sexy. And that, to George Stephanopoulos, is all very credible. But the claims against Joe Biden, against Bill Clinton, when he worked for Bill Clinton, he either doesn't cover those or he admonishes them.
Right. And it made me feel, walking off the set yesterday, that, you know, rape is bad unless you're a Republican, right, a conservative Republican at that. And then in this case, the gloves are off and you should be bullied and be shamed. But the other thing that I didn't like about the E. Jean Carroll situation, I want to be real sensitive to any woman that has ever been sexually assaulted, ever been raped. I am a survivor and I know how incredibly difficult that journey is. But the other thing is that she mocked rape. She made fun of it. When she talked about the judgment she was getting, she joked about it live on national TV, talking about all the things she was going to buy. Well, I'm a victim. Rape is serious. Rape is not a joke. Rape is not funny. And it shouldn't be laughed about in front of other people because it makes it so much harder for victims to come forward and tell their stories because of the way that they're judged, the way that rape can be mocked by others. Like, it just makes it so much more difficult for us to tell our stories. And I got to tell you, it was really painful for me because George Stephanopoulos, he has not been in this journey. He doesn't know about the shame of being raped. And I was raped 30 years ago at the age of 16 by a high school classmate of mine. And so when he showed that video, when he went off the rails yesterday, showing this video, this speech, this impassioned speech that I had the courage to tell about my story of being raped, you could see me wince in that interview. Like, it was painful for me. And I just cannot believe it even today that he led with this. I didn't go on to talk about my rape, but that's what he led with for 7 out of 10 minutes yesterday. It was disgusting.
I couldn't believe he had the guts to do it after the things that he said in defense of Bill Clinton, to actually make that move, especially with a case like this that, you know, again, we don't know what happened. Trump says he never met the woman, but let's say that they did. I mean, she said that she
not convicted
invited
of rape.
Him.
That's not what it was about. He was not convicted of rape. And the
right.
judgment, the civil judgment, was not about rape either. And I made that point twice on the show yesterday. And Stephanopoulos just denied. I think Stephanopoulos opened himself and ABC News up to a massive lawsuit. And I hope the president sues him.
Yeah, I could see that coming. I mean, it was slanderous comments. He made it twice. And I think that the point of this, of all of this, is this guy's been a host at ABC News for more than 25 years. But he's still at his core a political actor.
Rob Schmidt, host of Rob Schmidt Tonight with South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace. And let's go from the House of Representatives to the Senate. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, a Democrat whose daughter works at MSNBC, by the way, yesterday pleading not guilty again in a new indictment charging him with obstruction of justice. Menendez has been battling all kinds of allegations of bribery, cars, gold bars, vacations, etc. And this recent case isn't the first one either. Back to American Agenda with Bob Brooks and Katrina Zisch.
Joe, let's start with you. As a former U.S. attorney, how do you expect the senator's case to play out?
Well, the Southern District of New York is where the senator was indicted. And remember, that was the most important decision they made, not to indict him in New Jersey, because in the last case against him, it ended in a hung jury because he had sympathetic New Jersey jurors. This time, we'll have New York jurors. And now that Mr. Uribe, one of his original co-defendants, has pleaded guilty and agreed to testify against him, this case is looking darker and darker for Menendez, which is why I think he decided to announce he's not running for re-election.
Vic, your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's, I'm going to make a political point because I did work in the Senate. It's interesting. These dumb Republicans in the House had to vote out George Santos because he was so corrupt. And the Republicans are saying nothing in the Senate. And actually, for the first time, I think they're doing a smart thing, because if they tried to oust Menendez, the Democratic governor of New Jersey would just appoint his wife to take his place because she wants to run for the seat.
Yes,
he sits there like Menendez sits there like a festering sore. So it's actually better for the Republicans to have him there, with Schumer just saying he hasn't lived up to our standards. That that of course is not a standard at all.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here.
Again, that's former state attorney for Washington, D.C., Joe DiGenova, and attorney Victoria Tunzing. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Marcia Fudge stepping down from her post, saying yesterday that after decades of public service, 5 decades to be exact, 50 years, she's finally retiring and going to return to her home state of Ohio. Fudge's last day on the job will be March 22nd. And Democrats are freaking out because California Democrat Katie Porter, who lost her bid for the Senate in last week's primary election to Adam Shifty Schiff, said the California Senate contest was rigged. Well. Porter saying billionaires spent $10 million on attack ads against her. And by rigged, she means that it's rigged by billionaires, and that our politics are in fact manipulated by big dark money. This coming from Democrat Katie Porter. And she says defending democracy means calling out that stuff. Senate candidate Adam Schiff and other Democrats have said plainly that that sounds a lot like Donald Trump and Republicans, which is why they don't like it. My, my, my. And by now you've heard that the commander of the NYFD, the New York Fire Department, wants to punish the firefighters who booed Attorney General Letitia James at an event last week and chanted Trump, Trump, Trump. Commander Laura Kavanaugh, who was appointed by liberal mayor Eric Adams and never even was a firefighter herself, ordered the department to hunt down these thugs who risk their lives every day for other people, but now is walking it back just a bit, encouraging those involved to turn themselves in. We take a closer look with National Report.
Andrew Ansbrough is the president of Uniformed Firefighters Association, represents 20,000 active duty and retired New York City firefighters. Andy, welcome, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
This got a lot of press because, you know, it's not often that we see the AG coming over for this promotional ceremony for the firefighters, and maybe you can explain why she was there to begin with, but then also the response she received and then the letter that followed. It's kind of a saga we're keeping track of. Can you start at the beginning?
Right. Well, the attorney general was there because a friend of hers was getting sworn in as a department chaplain. I have a relationship with the attorney general. We're very friendly. It's unfortunate that members booed. But again, they didn't understand the purpose that she was there for. And they saw her attendance was kind of political. And they responded in kind. These events tend to have a carnival atmosphere. I mean, if you listen to the tapes, someone blows an air horn, which people even laugh when it happens. Unfortunately, things might have got out of hand, but the fact that the department is now looking at disciplinary matters now is just absurd.
Why do you think that there is this recourse here and this education, and they're trying to find these people so that they can educate them on the type of protocol? You say that this hasn't really happened very often in years past. Why do you think that it's happening now?
Well, there have been plenty of incidents in other events over the years. And for them to go after members now is disingenuous. They're asking members to turn themselves in or they will be hunted down. At this point in time, I don't even know what they would charge them with. But I do know in our regulations we have something called failure to supervise. And at no point in time did I see any of the department brass get up and attempt to gain control of the situation. You know, we have a saying that you learn in the academy. It's called lock it up. And when an officer says that, you settle yourself down. Mm. At no point in time did that ever happen. It's disingenuous for later on the day or in the days following for them to turn around and call the dogs on everyone. They got to look at themselves and see, did they do what was right at that time? And the answer is no.
Yeah, because they came out with the letter at least a few days after the ceremony took place. I think we've got a little bit more of it, saying here that members have a right to political beliefs, but you don't have a right to make a job-related ceremony political in nature. When you're not on duty, feel however you want about politicians. Do it on your own time. So I guess from the letter, Andy, is where they take issue with the fact that this was a ceremony in nature, but...
Absolutely understandable, but if it took them a long time afterwards to figure out what went wrong, they didn't see it in the moment and deal with it, you know, maybe we can have a talk about it, but this one, I don't think that's necessary.
Would they be getting education if they were chanting Biden, Biden, Biden in that...
I find that unlikely, but, you know, we have all types in our union. Whether they're Democrats, there are Republicans, we represent 20,000 people of all varying backgrounds. I think people reacted to her being there, and not in a way that I thought was respectful, but... You know, people are going to behave in the carnival atmosphere at those events. It happens all the time.
Andrew Ansbro, president of the Uniformed Firefighters Association. People are going to behave in a carnival type of atmosphere at those events. Quote, unquote. It happens all the time, he said. So as ridiculous as this is, the fact that he says it happens all the time makes it even that much more ridiculous. If it happens all the time at this carnival-like atmosphere, then what's the difference now? You know what the difference is. Trump, Trump, Trump. On a final note this Tuesday, today is National Working Moms Day, established in 1983 by the American Business Women's Association, and it's National Girl Scout Day. The Girl Scouts came into existence in 1912, founded by Juliet Daisy Gordon Lowe in Savannah, Georgia, and now have more than 3.7 million members worldwide. It's estimated that in more than 100 years, more than 50 million girls and women have been involved with the Girl Scouts. On Wall Street, stocks are in the green after this morning's much-anticipated consumer price index for February, coming in pretty much where it was expected, up 0.4% and up 3.2% from a year ago. So from last February, you're paying 3.2% more, which was like 4% more than the February before that. Keep up with all the news all day today and every day on Newsmax. It is available on most major cable systems like AT&T, Comcast, DirecTV, Dish, Mediacom, Spectrum, Hotwire, and many others. And make sure you're getting the new Newsmax Plus. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com if you don't have it. Get signed up. You can get a free trial. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts. Again, that's NewsmaxPlus.com. Thank you for checking out the Newsmax Daily Podcast. I'm Tony Marino. Check out some of the other great Newsmax podcasts as well at Newsmax.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, you can also find it on the Newsmax Rumble and YouTube page as well. Enjoy the rest of your day and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.